Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024, in the Gregorian calendar, and the 3rd of Nisan, 5784, in the Hebrew calendar. Stay tuned to honor the remaining hostages in Gaza as we go through the lives of another 12 individuals stuck in captivity. And then we're going to do our best to lift you back up with a Torah thought from our spiritual guide, Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York, and he'll get us ready for Shabbat, ready for the weekend. Now, let's get to the news. U.S. President Joe Biden reinforced America's, quote, unwavering support for Israel's security amidst rising tensions with Iran. This comes after the Islamic Republic of Iran threatened Israel, blaming Jerusalem for an airstrike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria. This strike led to the death of Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps commander Mohammed Zayedi, along with 11 others. Iran's supreme leader emphasized that the attack on the consulate, viewed by Iran as sovereign Iranian territory, was a grave mistake made by Israel warranting punishment. Now, the nation is calling for a direct response. Keep in mind, the IDF has not taken responsibility for this attack, despite the international media has said that it was, in fact, Israel's work. Biden reiterated the United States' commitment to Israel during a press conference with Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. Amidst escalating rhetoric, there are concerns about the possibility of broader warfare involving Hezbollah, prompting calls for diplomatic solutions from UN officials and Israeli leaders. I'll tell you this, there's a widespread, low-level concern that people here in Israel are experiencing. It's not being brought too much to the surface, but we can all feel something ominous. That being said, it could just be rhetoric. The Jerusalem Post had a story out today with the headline saying that anyone who feels fear about an Iranian attack is simply giving Iran exactly what they want, which is a nation full of nervous and anxious civilians. I'll share just a little personal note. Last night in the WhatsApp chat that I have of some Tel Aviv ladies that I'm a part of, there was a woman who wrote in it around 2 o'clock in the morning. And of course, I was awake working on the Israel Daily News. And she said, "Is anybody awake?" I got in touch with her. I said, "I'm awake. What's going on? Is everything okay? Are you safe?" And she said, "I can't sleep. I'm afraid of an Iranian attack, and I'm afraid it's going to happen tonight." Well, I calmed her down. I assured her. I told her it's not going to happen. I told her she should close her eyes and imagine that she's safe and protected. I wanted her to think about positive things. And then I didn't hear a response from her. And I contacted her today. I said, "Hello, excuse me. Are we doing okay?" And she said, "I was so comforted by what you said last night, and I did what you told me to do about closing my eyes and imagining positive things that I fell asleep. Sorry about that." So I guess my job here is done and it is working. So my message to everyone listening who is concerned and worried is try to continue without concern and worry. The only thing that we are going to get from concern and worry is more concern and worry. Now, this is a pretty big news story if it turns out to materialize. Normalization between Indonesia and Israel is anticipated as Indonesia seeks OECD membership with Israel's consent being a requirement for the process. The OECD is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. The organization was developed by the US, the UK, France, Germany, and other financial powerhouse countries around the world. The idea is to advance economic growth around the globe, and you might be familiar with it for its indexes, which measure countries' financial health using all different kinds of metrics. People like myself, who needs statistics and data, might go to their site to look things up, for example, to use for stories, for statistics data. The forum has 38 members, including Israel. And in order for a new nation to be added on, there needs to be a unanimous yes for the nation. Israel, which does not have diplomatic relations with the Holy Land, rejected the country when it tried to get in. Now, things are getting even more interesting. The idea of creating normalization between the nations comes amidst efforts to mend diplomatic ties that were disrupted by the ongoing war between Hamas and Israel, meaning that was in the works and then this war pumped the brakes. While trade and tourism relations have existed between the countries, formal diplomatic relations have been lacking. The Biden administration initially pursued normalization, but plans were halted due to the Israel-Hamas war. The OECD has set conditions for Indonesia's membership, including establishing diplomatic relations with all member states on the committee, including Israel. Representatives of the OECD, Jerusalem, and Indonesia's capital have been apparently working on this deal for months in secrecy. Tuesday, Israel coordinated Indonesia's participation in an airdrop relief mission over Gaza, which hints at potential warming of ties. Though historically under President Joko Widodo, the country maintained minimal unofficial contact with Israel. And by the way, Israelis are not even allowed to enter on an Israeli passport. So if you're Israeli and you want to go to Indonesia, there's no diplomatic ties. And so you got to have a foreign passport or you can't get in. Rumors of normalization have circulated for years at this point, but Indonesia has refrained from formalizing relations until they say there will be an establishment of an independent Palestinian state, reflecting its staunch support for the Palestinian cause. Still, trade between the two countries has been reported at around $500 million US dollars per year. That is a whole lot. In March, Indonesia's president denied a report of normalization with Israel. Now, American officials working to bring the nations together say that it's actually going to happen. It's going to push through. Very interesting story and something I did not think I would see, especially at this time. Indonesia is a heavily Muslim country with a sweeping anti-Israel sentiment and even protests in the street, anti-Israel protests in the street. Mind you, Indonesia has the biggest Muslim population out of any country in the world. That's likely just due to its size. In January, Indonesia actually used the ICJ, or International Court of Justice, to file a claim against Israel and also supported South Africa after they tried Israel for genocide in the international court system as well. Well, this will be very interesting to see where this will go, and we'll let you know. Jerusalem police and the country's border police arrested four suspects who were all between the ages of 15 and 16 years old from East Jerusalem. They were picked up for placing a number of pipe bombs underneath a light rail station in Jerusalem. The police actually figured this out while they were investigating a different criminal instance reported, which also included people making pipe bombs around the light rail as well. And also people throwing stones at police as well. These were different incidents. The suspects from today got together and planted improvised explosive devices under one of the stops at the light rail station, and then they even documented their own actions. Police initially responded to reports of gunfire, but discovered it was an improvised explosive device that detonated near the rail system. Further investigation revealed that suspects' involvement in other stone-throwing incidents led to their arrest and their ultimate prosecution. Keep in mind, this is the light rail. This is not the regular rail system of Israel. There are two systems depending on where you are in the country. The light rail system is an outdoor light rail that sort of like you could imagine it like a tram. And the idea is to bring people from place to place within the city of Jerusalem. And everyone uses this light rail. Let me tell you, it is a cradle of diversity. When you go on the light rail in Jerusalem, you see people of all different religious spectrums. And that includes different religious spectrums of Arab Christians, Arab Muslims, Armenians, Jewish people, Haredi people, that's Orthodox Jewish people, secular Jewish people, Muslim people, clerics, all different types of people use this rail system. It could have been an absolute catastrophe had this not been thwarted by police. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs. Seriously, Israeli politics are world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with contributions by going over to our new website, israeldailynews.org. Our organization is operational thanks to listeners and supporters like you. In response for your contributions, I'll send over a handwritten thank you note to show my appreciation. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. I want to make a note about something regarding this show. I know that for many people, I am your number one source of Israel news. I take that very seriously. I also know that there's a lot of news regarding Israel circulating. Wherever you go, you're seeing it. And I want to note that I make it a point not to cover certain stories and that I am not covering certain updates about hostage deals that are underway unless there is a significant and real update, an update that has legs. I think it's a lot of rumors. I think there's not enough concrete facts, and I think it's irresponsible to cover such stories. That is my note about my coverage, and I want to let you know if you ever notice that something's missing. First of all, I try to keep this show short and condensed. Second, I really don't like to cover stories that are underdeveloped, stories that are updates that are not really going to go anywhere. And therefore, I just want to let you know that certain things that are coming out of these hostage updates, I believe that a lot of them could just be psychological torment. And so I choose not to psychologically torment the listeners of this show. I will let you know when there are real updates to know. Until then, just keep praying. And now I'm going to read out the next grouping of names of hostages who were kidnapped from Israel and violently taken into tunnels and homes, private homes, and facilities throughout Gaza. In my personal opinion, it's not healthy or safe to make assessments or judgments about the hostages and the deals on the table right now. There's nothing concrete. We don't know who's telling the truth. And with all of the bombing from Israel into Gaza, the movement, the disorderly conduct of Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, it's impossible to really know what's going on. At the very least, we can honor the hostages by saying their names and knowing a bit about who they are. And that is what we are going to do in today's segment. And we're going to continue to do this until the hostages come home. So every week or every other week, when we find the strength, when I find the strength, I go through about a dozen names and who they are. And I know it's tough, and I know a lot of you are having a hard time with this, but we're going to honor them by learning just a bit about them. Shani Luke, 22 years old, deceased. Shani was killed at the Nova Music Festival, and her body was brought into Gaza. The German-Israeli festival goer was a spirited person who loved laughing and experiencing life. She loved art and music and found value in self-expression. Omer Natura, age 22. Omer was abducted by Hamas terrorists while serving as an IDF tank commander near Gaza. The Long Islander, Long Island, New York, that is, decided to join the Israeli army after taking a gap year in 2020, putting off his plans to attend Binghamton University. He is athletic, having been the captain of his high school basketball, volleyball, and soccer teams. He's interested in peace building and is looking forward to returning to New York for college. Alon Ohel, age 22. Alon was kidnapped by Hamas terrorists while at the Nova Music Festival with his friends. He was supposed to attend one of Israel's best music academies, Rimon School of Music, later that fall, 2023, the fall of 2023. He's a talented pianist and, naturally, a lover of music. Alon's younger brother, Ronen, is also a musician. He reached out to jazz performer Avishai Cohen to record Alon's family and friends singing his song, Shuvi Elai, which translates to Return to Me. Alon's family also brought a yellow piano to the Hostage Plaza in Tel Aviv in hopes of his return. Aron Shaul, age 22, deceased. Aron was taken captive by Hamas terrorists during the 2014 Operation Protective Edge. He died from injuries during his capture, and his body is still being held in Gaza. He is survived by his mother and two brothers. His father died of cancer 2 years after his son's kidnapping. He is remembered for his love of the land of Israel. This young man's body is still in Gaza and has been for nearly 10 years. This young man's body is still in Gaza and has been for 10 years. His family has been part of the movement to get his body back, along with other soldiers captured in that 2014 operation. Hadar Golden, age 23, deceased. Hadar was shot and killed by Hamas gunmen on August 4th, 2014, during Operation Protective Edge. At the time, the terrorist group agreed to a 72-hour ceasefire, which they broke. Hadar's remains were brought to Gaza and have been held there ever since. He had gotten engaged just weeks before his capture. His mother, Leah Golden, has been a strong voice standing with the families of hostages abducted on October 7th. Omer Wenkert, age 22. Omer was taken captive from the Nova Music Festival. A Hamas video of Omer tied to a white pickup truck was sent to his parents later that day. The young man suffers from the autoimmune condition colitis and can have dramatic attacks from that condition. Omer works as a restaurant manager and plans to become a food critic. He is known to have a vibrant and social personality, accompanying his wide circle of friends. Eviatar David, age 23. Eviatar was abducted by Hamas terrorists from the Nova Music Festival. He went to the event with his friends. Apparently, a few hours before the attack, they stood in a circle and talked about how good life was going for them. Eviatar is still deciding what to do with his future. He is considering studying music education or music production. He also has a deep sense of wanderlust, with trips to Thailand and Zanzibar on the top of his list. Hirsch Goldberg Polin, age 23. Hirsch was kidnapped from the Nova Desert rave. He had spent the previous night observing Simchat Torah, the holiday, in Jerusalem, with family and close friends. Eyewitnesses say that his arm was blown off by Hamas terrorists before being forced onto the back of a pickup truck. The American Israeli was born in Berkeley, California, and moved to Israel with his parents at age 7. Recently, he's been working with high school groups and saving up for travel. His parents have spread awareness in the U.S. about the hostage situation and are prominent voices in the struggle to bring the hostages home. His mother is tirelessly on Instagram and in the media, working on this campaign day in and day out. Romy Gonen, age 23. Romy was abducted from the Nova Music Festival. She tried to escape in a car with her friends and got shot in the hand. She is a former Scouts counselor and is described as being very cheerful and independent. Bipin Joshi, age 23. Bipin was kidnapped by Hamas terrorists from Kibbutz Alumim. He was a part of a group of Nepali farming students that arrived 3 weeks earlier as part of an academic program. In the attack, he prioritized his friend's safety before his own. He managed to throw away a grenade before getting injured by a second one. Ron Gvili, age 24, deceased. Ron served in the Yassam patrol unit and was killed while protecting residents of Kibbutz Alumim from Hamas terrorists. His body was brought to Gaza and is still being held there. The young man loved playing guitar and had an interest in motorcycles. Eitan Moore, age 23. Eitan was working as a security guard at the Nova Music Festival when abducted by Hamas terrorists. He helped many partygoers get to safety before getting captured himself. Eitan had just finished his IDF service a few months prior to the Desert Rave. He got an apartment in Jerusalem and was working two jobs to make ends meet. He is known to be thoughtful, empathetic, and considerate toward others. We here at the Israel Daily News hope and pray for the return of all of our hostages. When people ask me, Shanna, do you think that they're coming home? How many do you think are dead? I say, yes, of course they are coming home. They're alive. What else is there to think? Why would I think anything else? And with that, I invite you now to do something amazing, which is spend a moment dreaming of the best case scenario and outcome of this war. Yes, with all that has happened, with all that we know the current state to be, with all the news that I just shared, I want you to envision, imagine, and feel the end of this war, peace on earth, our hostages walking home. And I want you to even pause this podcast and feel, allow your body to feel what that could be like and hold on to that and only think of that, because that's the only thing that we can think. And now to uplift everyone's spirit after taking a huge hit when remembering the hostages. Let's hear from Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York, with his Torah thought of the week.
This week's Torah portion is Tzarat, which is often translated as leprosy. That's not really what Tzarat is, but I'm not going to get into that right now. What I do want to talk about is what's done with a person who has Tzarat, this leprosy-type affliction. Well, a Kohen, a priest, comes in and is able to declare whether the person is pure or impure. Even if someone else who is not a Kohen is more well-versed in what colors are pure and impure and could read the affliction on the skin or the house or the clothes, whatever it comes upon, better than the priest, it's irrelevant. Only the priest can be the one to declare the person pure or impure to decide whether or not they have to go and seclude themselves or they can be reintegrated into society. Why is that? You would think whoever is the expert in these matters would be the one to determine whether or not the person is pure or impure. Why the priest specifically? Well, that's because, as it says about Aaron HaKohen, about Aaron, the high priest, it says he was Ohev Shalom, Vrodev Shalom. He loved peace and he pursues peace, because Aaron is the embodiment of the attribute of chesed, of kindness. And it's only when a person is totally infused with the attribute of kindness and love can they pronounce whether their fellow is pure or impure, doing right or wrong, to be judgmental, so to speak. Because if you are judging another person and it's not coming from a place of kindness and love, then you're not really helping them. Maybe you're helping yourself, or maybe you're just being judgmental and nasty and mean. Perhaps your intentions are good, but we know where the road paved with good intentions leads to. So it's important when you are judging your fellow's actions and you want to tell them whether or not they're doing something that's inappropriate, you have to really make sure that it's not coming out of a place of selfish desire, that you don't like what they're doing to you, it's affecting you negatively, or maybe you just don't like it, and so you have to tell them off, you know, and you have to say something to them. Is it really coming from a place of love for that other person? If not, sometimes it's better not to say anything, to make sure that it's not just coming out of hatred or spite. So give us all a blessing that we should fill ourselves with love and empathy and kindness, so that we'll be able to judge others in a kind and favorable and generous way. And that will in turn lead God to judge us in a kind and favorable and generous way. Shabbat shalom.
All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 15 degrees Celsius and a high of 23 degrees. That's 59 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 74 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. A big thank you to our social media director, Michelle Milner, our consultant, Sivan Hadari, our intern, Maya Kay, who spent tireless days, hours, and nights working on the roundup of the hostages so that we could learn about their lives. I'm going to send you off now with a song called With Everything That's Going On, What's Going On by Kosha Dills. This song is a precursor to his politically and culturally charged EP called Bring the Family Home, with release performances scheduled in New York City, Chicago, LA, and San Francisco. Kol HaKavod to Kosha Dills for making all of this music, content, and all types of digital media about the October 7th massacre and the ongoing war. Have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Humanitarian. There's no comparing things. Life isn't fair again, but this is me rapping to the beat. What you sipping on? I'm sipping on humanity. Lemon squeeze, NYC need a better peace. Putting posters up in my kingdom, yo, it is better free. Dumb idiots are ripping down. Why's that? They do it in the name of solidarity. Fun and games, love and pain, singing song, comedy shows to political pawns. You ain't putting me on. Rap battles to podcasting. I need to sit down with Ari Melba, Piers Morgan. I want action. I'm not some activist chick with a face mask. You want 1400 from the government for payback. You don't want 1400 people to get any payback. How convenient it is to say that. With everything that's going on, what's going on? Some people get it right, some people get it wrong, including me, including you. So what we gonna do? What we gonna do? What we gonna do, huh? With everything that's going on, what's going on? Some people get it right, some people get it wrong, including me, including you. So what we gonna do? What we gonna do? What we gonna do, huh? Someone asked if I lost people, my response was hella iffy. I told them I can't lose people if they was never with me. Misinformed, singing songs straight from the synagogue. Are y'all singing Heal the World and can't we all just get along? Minimize casualties, let's live in my galaxy. Thinking that this outery speech is some cold, I'm out of heat. I'm exhausted out of me, the entire thing a money grab. We usually kill off people in our lives who are both capable of loving back. And then we go on saying to ourselves we do not want them back. Reality is, yo, we never wanted that. Let me hop in your shoes, your story, your news, your eyes, your views. The world's bomb, a short fuse. We don't get to play it all cool. Blood the same color, all pools. Even if you think I'm all fake or all true. Word on the street is they searching for peace. But what is it working for you? Is it